welcome the Veer Queer team to the stage. Julian Gomez, Mai Ha, and Andisha Haynes.
Wow, amazing. Oh, wow. Look at all these beautiful faces.
Holy shit, there's people here.
Wow. I want to thank everyone for coming out to the share space. Thank Spectrum South. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, a live show. We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
And then also we have Andisha back. So
yeah, Andisha's back.
Yeah, if y'all don't listen, she's from here, moved away to Portland because she hates us. So she decided to come back because we forced her. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a step up from Starbucks, huh? That's where it all started.
Yeah, like we were just talking about that. We were sitting back there like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This show is for us.
Right. Yeah.
These people came to see us.
I know. I kind of want to throw up just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, we started almost a year ago, two years ago?
Like a year ago.
We started the 24 hours Starbucks. We just came together and just talked about it. We're like, let's make a podcast. Let's do it.
We met there.
We literally all met there.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're doing this. We're doing a podcast. We're going to do it. We're calling it this. Boom, boom, boom. And then I moved, and now I'm here.
you moved. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not salty about that.
I mean, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You're like, look at me for validation. Like, it's okay, right?
But yeah, so if y'all haven't been listening, this is our new season, season 4. We're partnering with Spectrum, and so basically what we want to do is highlight voices, more voices that we have been previously. If you haven't listened last season, our theme of our episode was about self-care, and we didn't release a lot of episodes because we know how to do self-care. And
yeah.
That means like step away from the things that bring you a lot of stress, breathe, drinking water, I don't know.
Y'all better be hydrating.
Yeah.
Real hydrating.
The minimalist things that you can do to, you know, revitalize yourself.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn how to do self-care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I feel like this year was really, like, I felt kind of bad to be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this podcast all about self-care, but here I am just sitting in my pajamas watching Netflix for, like,
but that is
hours.
Self-care, though.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, I'm just like, I got to move a little bit. I'm an air sign.
You move from one end of the couch to the other couch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have to stretch. Like a 10-minute yoga video.
Do a downward dog.
Exactly.
My dog can do yoga.
Huh?
My dog can do yoga.
Harley does downward dog all the time. It's the cutest thing. That's when you know he's about to, like, beg for something. Because he'll, like, get up and he's like, let me do the stretch. And it's like, oh, what do you want? You're being adorable. What do you want?
What do you want?
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, like, but that is a form of self-care, though. Even if you're just, like, chilling at home watching Netflix. Like, I don't know. I find that to be self-care.
It is. But for me, I feel like my methods of self-care changed. Because, like, I don't know. I used to consider going out with my friends and, like, seeing my peers as, like, my, like, main method of self-care. Like, y'all know me. I was out in the streets when I was here. And then I moved to Portland.
I mean, yeah.
Right? They know. Yeah. They know. This room right here.
This group right here knows.
Yeah. And then I moved to Portland, and I kind of had to, like, reevaluate, like, what brought me wholeness and what made me feel better. And a lot of that was being alone, honestly. But it kind of, it made me feel stronger, kind of, in some ways. I just need friends now a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So learning how to be alone and being okay with being alone is what you were just talking about feeling whole. Yes.
For self-care, sometimes, like, adjusting my methods from, like, being having my main method of self-care being, like, being social to having it turn to the way that I recoup from the week is isolation. That was different for me.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the hardest part of, like, moving from Houston to Portland.
Yeah, I did a lot of hiding in 2018, mm-hmm. so I get that. I was just like, but I have a Switch. Do I have to go out? I can play Smash Brothers instead.
I was that person that, like, said interested to every single event.
Yeah.
And showed up to exactly zero. I even did the same thing right before I got on the plane. I was like, I'll be at that thing Sunday.
Yeah. What if I put down interest to my own event?
Well, you're going, obviously.
I mean, had to.
What about you, Julian? What do you think your self-care?
I don't know. I'm still figuring that out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I've never put emphasis on, like, what good, healthy self-care looks like. I thought self-care was, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home. I'm going to decompress. I'm going to, like, watch Netflix or do whatever. But then I realized that I was missing out on a lot of what was happening outside of my apartment door. And so I had to, like, really think about what kind of, like, friendships and love and company that I really need. And a lot of it is that, like, I really just want you to come over and just watch TV and just exist around me. Like, I don't need you to, like, you know, sit there and talk to me about, like, deep shit, TM. You know what I mean? Like, I just want you to just exist, you know? And that took a long time for me to figure that out. So now I've gotten better about being like, hey, do you want to just come over and just, like, not do shit? Like, just, like, watch Netflix in silence, because that sounds really great. Like, but that's sort of, like, how I'm trying to practice self-care, is, like, knowing that, like, I need to be better about reaching out to people that I love and care about, being like, I need this in the lowest maintenance way possible. Yeah, but, like, I still fuck with you, I still see you, but I just need you to just be here and exist with me and not just, like, pull any more emotional labor out of me. And it's not that my friends do, but it's just I put so much of my emotional and mental, like, self at work that once I get home, just, like, ready to crash, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of crashing? The year of the crash, yeah.
Year of the crash?
That was a crash year.
What about you, Mai? Yeah, my.
I think for me, it's like overcommitting. What I did a lot was overcommit and then didn't follow through. I feel bad. Sorry if I did that to you.
Sorry.
I think, yeah, that's. And then also reciprocating the emotional labor that I was taking from other people. And also trying to find the time to give back to other people.
Yeah.
Instead of just fully taking. Yeah, just stepping back and, like, recognizing my space. Where I am in my environment and who my crowd is, basically. Because everywhere I go, it's always changing.
No
so.
New friends. No new friends.
No new friends.
No, I want new friends.
No, but, like, I want new friends.
But it's hard.
But I want friends, yeah.
Also, people suck, too, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, but, like, I, like, thought I was a, like, 100%, like, book-type extrovert, right? Mm-hmm. And I am. Like, I thrive really well, like, with people, and if I'm put in a new situation, I can usually just pick up and, like, find new people to hang out with or talk to and whatever. But I have found that, like, as I gotten older and life gets more tiresome and all that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just like, wait, but I don't want to deal with people, though.
No?
No.
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 But no. Too bad you're here and you have to deal
with
people.
I know, like, too fucking bad, I guess. No, no, but today's a good day. Like, I'm actually genuinely really happy to be here.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thanks, everyone, for making me.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you all are here. Yeah.
I'm so glad y'all are here. Oh, my God, y'all give a shit about what I say. Wow.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and also, so for today, I guess y'all already know our special guest today is Jessica. And yeah, we're going to dive in a conversation with her after. If y'all have any questions about anything, y'all can ask us literally whatever.
Don't be shy.
Or be shy. That's cool, too.
If you're shy, that's fine. Be yourself. But if you're not shy, then don't be yourself and don't be shy. Yeah.
You can, like, tweet at us, like, hey, I have a question. But I want to approach you.
Okay, well, welcome to the couch, Jessica.
Jessica Zaire! Yay!
Gonna switch.
Oh my God, hi.
Hi. Hi, thank you all so much. I'm super excited to be here and kind of talk to y'all a little bit about whatever questions everyone has to ask me. I'm a little nervous, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little nervous, so. But I'm very excited to be here. Thank you all for coming out. And I guess let's get started.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, just mind us, because technical difficulties, we have to share mics.
Yeah.
Dang, didn't come prepared.
Oops.
How gay of us.
I guess the show is canceled.
Yeah, Jessica. So, welcome. Have you heard of Very Queer before? I guess before we asked you to come on.
Yeah. Be honest.
Actually, I have not heard of it before, but I did. I work at the Montrose Center, and then okay. Spectrum South, I definitely know of. So, yes, nice. I was really honored to be here.
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Yeah.
Don't make me cry. But so we were talking a little bit over in that lovely chair over there, and you told us that you're not from Houston, actually. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So a lot of people tend to guess where I'm from. A lot of people say California, actually. They say I kind of have that vibe, which is awesome because I love Cali. But I was born in New Jersey. Yeah, I was born in New Jersey, but I wasn't there for long. I was actually raised in San Antonio, so definitely a Texan. And I went to college in Corpus Christi, and then I moved here after a little bit of stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When did you start modeling? Like, when did you...
So...
Yeah, she's a model, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Yeah, if y'all didn't know, she's a model in Houston and does other activism work, so that's why she's here. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So I'll say, like, seriously modeling is, I'll say about 2 years, but I mean, I've been, like, taking pictures and kind of, like, finding my passion and all that stuff for about 5 years, but, like, the legitimate, like, real modeling, I'll say, like, the past 2 years.
Nice. What made you want to start modeling? Like, when I was younger, I wanted to model, but then I thought about it and I was like, I feel like that is like one of the hardest jobs to ever have, like ever, because it's basically you just go into a room and you just say, hey, everyone. Like,
thank you for realizing that. Some people are just like, yeah, a model, you just stand there and you don't have to do anything. And I'm like, I work very, very hard.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
So hard.
But actually, so growing up, I wanted to be an actress. That was like my main thing. I was like, oh my God, I love acting and drama and I'm dramatic. So it's just, it all works. But it was actually in college. I was on the beach and I was not fabulous. I had no makeup on. My hair was a complete disaster. I had on like the most basic of my outfits. And a lady came to me and she was just like, hey, have you ever considered modeling? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, and so basically she ended up kind of getting me started. Like, we had like our first photo shoot, and like from there I was just like, wow, I really love like the feeling and like the vibe and kind of creating with people and meeting really like, you know, unique individuals. And then over time my like passion just kind of grew from that, like being able to use that and also kind of use my following to like help educate some people as well. So
When you mean help educate people, what do you mean by that?
Just like generally there's still like a lot of stereotypes about like the trans community. There's still a lot of ignorance like around it. So I mean literally just by being visible and like existing and being myself, I'm able to educate people in some spaces sometimes that may not necessarily know about it. So like whether it's at fashion shows or via social media or just really in some aspects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. I actually saw a video of you. I went to this workshop for like trans awareness or whatever, and they showed a video of you, I think at City Hall talking.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. What? Who, me? Where?
Was she wearing a red like outfit? Okay, yeah, was it? Because I think that was City Hall. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought you're not talking about the white one shoulder.
For time.
I do a lot of things, y'all, and my memory is kind of horrible.
I have no idea. All I know is it was filmed, and they showed it to us, and it was dope.
Do you remember what I was talking about?
You're talking about like trans, I guess this is the bathroom bill, whatever.
First of all, what look was that?
I believe it was like the Calvin Klein, off the shoulder. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. She's a professional.
Yeah.
She's a professional. She's like, I don't know what look that was.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, tell me the outfit. We can figure it out from there.
Do you want to tell us about that? That was sweet.
Yeah. So, I'm sure as most of you know, there was this whole bathroom bill about not acknowledging trans individuals' identities and kind of forcing everyone to go into their biological sex, the restroom, basically. So, obviously that was problematic for the community. Mm-hmm. And so, I did a few different things like in regards to that. I've done like a campaign called IP with LGBT, and mm-hmm. I was one of the leads in that. Like, it was like kind of a little preview that went out to just basically talk about like how ridiculous the bill is, because mm-hmm. everyone just goes in the bathroom to use the bathroom and then leave, basically, right. You know. So trying to like demonize and sexualize the community was really upsetting. So just trying to, basically, in all of my efforts, like going there and testifying and talking with people was just a way to try to humanize it and also just show people that we're just human. Right. You know, I spent too much of my life, a good amount of my life, being really concerned about like who I am and like how I felt and how that like conflicted with what so many people told me how I had to be and how I had to exist. And so I guess I'm going to get into this before y'all even ask a question.
Go for it.
So I transitioned when I was 17 in high school. I was my senior year. It was like right after Christmas break. So that's when I kind of just went to school. I didn't really tell a lot of people besides like my parents, like my family, and maybe like one friend who helped me go shopping. And so whenever I like went back to school, it was kind of a big shock to, you know, everyone. And like, I had to go to the principal's office to talk to them, but I had never been to the principal's office, and they were actually pretty supportive. Yeah. I know I was a good girl. Yeah. I appreciate that all. Yes. 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 Right here in the front. Yeah. So yeah, like they went and they were actually like somewhat supportive. Like, now that I've been visible for a while, I probably would have advocated for myself a little bit differently. But at the time, I felt like just excited to like be authentic and be able to live and like exist at school. So yeah, that happened. And then I went off to college and I was like, I don't want to tell anybody about my story. I don't want to be a judge. I just want to be a college student. I don't want to have to like deal with discrimination. And because I dealt with some pretty rough stuff within that time. So
was that in Houston? Sorry. No.
No, in Corpus Christi.
Ooh.
Yeah, in Corpus Christi and in San Antonio. Like, when I was in high school, like that period, like for the last half of my senior year of high school, and then like some years in like my college in Corpus.
Wow.
And so like kind of experiencing that stuff, I was really like terrified to be visible and to talk about my story, because I realized that there is a large target on trans women of color specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And there still is today. So it was really terrifying. But basically, I spent about 6 years. I'm giving y'all my age now. I spent a few years. just
you don't
a few.
Look it.
Just a few.
Yeah.
I spent a few years basically kind of like hiding my truth, I guess, or not really like telling my narrative or anything like that. And then eventually I decided like I thought that it was time, and I didn't want to be silent, and I wanted to talk, and like I just wanted to help in any way that I could. And so that's kind of how everything started.
What was like the big change that made you actually be like, this is who I am, let me do it? Because like, I feel like that the way that I, like, my utopia is a place where everyone has that moment from like birth that they can do whatever they want and mm-hmm. just do it and just say it when it means well for everyone else and doesn't harm anyone, of course. But like,
for you and your narrative and for the way that you grew up, like where was that moment where you're like, I don't want to hide anymore? Like what, when were you were like, I deserve to like tell people and be advocate for myself and stand up for myself? Cause I feel like that's really important, you know?
I do. And I love that you like kind of said that about like people just being born and being able to just like exist. And that sounds so simple, but I feel like it's so difficult like in this time. And like, I hate that so much.
I also hate it. I hate it every single day. I'm just like, why?
It's really horrible because, you know, all of the like depression and all of the stuff that people have to go through, like just to literally just be themselves. It's really horrible, but there were actually a couple of things. I had witnessed a few things that like happened towards the trans community specifically, and it just really hurt me to not be vocal about it. I spent a lot of time, like I was saying, whenever I was younger, I was bullied a lot for being super feminine. I was like, you know, I kind of had went through a lot of stuff, and I would never defend myself. I would never stand up for myself. I would never stand up for anybody else either, or let alone stand up for myself. So, you know, realizing all of that, there was just like a point in me that like a point in time where I was just kind of like, I can't do this anymore. Like I have to own my own narrative. I have to take the power of my narrative back. And like, I've had people like during that period of time, like, so I transitioned in San Antonio in high school. And then whenever I moved to college, like, you know, I didn't want to talk about it. And like the people that did know, I told them, I don't want people to talk about it. I don't want people to know. I just want to like exist.
Right.
And I had people like maliciously, like, you know, put pictures up of me, like, you know, before transitioning, and put stuff on like social media to like try to take my narrative and tell my story and kind of put me in like a state of like further self-shame or something. Mm-hmm. And so a big piece of that was like taking back my story, taking back my narrative. Like, and I don't, you know, being visible for me was like, it's been great and it's been awesome. And there's been some hard times, but I always tell people too, like, you don't have to be visible to be happy. Like that, this, I don't want to like force people, like everybody has to be visible to advocate. There's many different ways that people can do it. You can make phone calls if needed, voting, you know, all of that stuff. So like, money. You don't have to stand and, you know, you don't have to go, you know, do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable to like help the community. Right. But I felt like this was one of the ways for me to do it. And since my profession is modeling, I didn't want like to get to like this place and then have someone try to like diminish me or like, yeah, devalue me or, you know, say something to like try basically put my narrative out there and like take away from all of the hard work that it took me to get there. I didn't want that to happen. So I was like, this is something that I have to do if like I want to get to where I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Give me the mic. Have you had to put yourself back in the closet at times?
I wouldn't necessarily say put myself back in a closet, but I'm obviously visible in certain spaces, but I still don't just go like shouting it in like every space. Like I feel like there's like time. Right. I think that, I mean, the reality is that every time that I talk about it, I'm putting a target on my back. Yeah. Every single time that I put up a post about being trans or I tag trans or anything like that, I like have to prepare myself to deal with a possible aftermath of that. So, you know, I've had like online harassment just recently. Some religious page with over like 10,000 followers shared my picture. And it was like one of my, like when I was like a kid versus like now. And they put like throw up faces in like the caption and like, what a shame. And then like literally all of the people were like attacking me. Like all of their followers were attacking me. I had like reported the post. My boyfriend had reported the post. A friend reported the post. Nothing ever happened. And like I received many messages and comments because my stuff is public. Basically that were just horrible. And like, I had to kind of like deal with that for like the next few days. So it can definitely, I forgot what the question was. Sorry. I had to get into that. But, Yeah, sometimes I have to like I just have to prepare myself to deal with like, oh yeah, being visible in certain spaces or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I've gotten to a point where like I own who I am, I know who I am, and like not everyone's gonna like that. And that it was really hard for me because I feel like I will speak for myself, but I feel like I felt that I needed everyone to love me. I needed everyone to like me. I needed everyone to think that I was okay and like in every space and stuff. And like, unfortunately, as amazing as that would be, it's not really realistic. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of come to terms with that.
Yeah. When you're navigating these spaces outside of like who you are and, you know, like what you're doing every day, in the modeling community, do you have to like run into people diminishing like who you are also, or do they like, what do they know?
That's also, it kind of still depends. So like there are certain designers that I feel really close with that have like been really awesome advocates and that like really stand up and like really speak out. And so I feel really comfortable in like certain spaces, depending on who it is. There are still certain spaces like, I mean, there's still a part of me that feels like I'm here and I'm a model, and if you like who I am and you like my passion and like my work, then like that's not necessarily relevant for this. But I never deny who I am. There was a point in time where I did deny who I was, but when I decided to become visible, I was like, I'm not denying who I am anymore. You can either love me or hate me, but I'm gonna still be strutting down those runways. So yeah.
That's amazing. That's really powerful. And I love that you've reached that for yourself, because I think that is imperative, especially for this world we live in, but especially for modeling too. What are your goals for modeling? Like, do you want to be the next Tyra? Are you trying to like?
If Tyra wants to, you know, that's a great, yeah.
Right, Tyra's listening to our podcast.
Me and Tyra were just hanging out, actually. No, I'm just kidding. That's a wonderful question. So I really, my ultimate goal before was to be one of the first Victoria's Secret trans models. And then I'm not sure if y'all saw all the stuff that happened, but basically one of the executive directors like said that they didn't want trans women to be a part of the show or plus size women. And that was like pretty devastating to me because like I was like, I've been working really hard and that was like one of my major goals. Some people still say like you should still like shoot for it because that man's like an older cis white man and like he's
gonna die soon.
Yes.
Hear, hear. Yeah, but honestly I don't think his time there is actually much longer. So it could potentially happen. I'm still a little like, you know, contemplating how I feel about all of that. But I mean, that would be like amazing. But I'm also like acting, like I said, was always a big thing of mine as well. So I may see myself in some movies or shows or something coming up. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, just I don't know. I don't know what I can say right now. I'm just kidding. No. But yeah, like ideally just to continue to just grow and like be authentic and like spaces that I thrive in and that I'm happy in and like just continue to like educate people. One of the most beautiful things to me is being in spaces where people can just be free to be themselves, whoever they are. And like I said, it sounds so simple, but like it makes me so emotional because like for everyone to get to that point has to go through so much. And I feel like that it shouldn't be, you know.
Yeah. I feel like this space is kind of like that.
Like I know. I was like, while I'm saying it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get emotional looking at everybody being their amazing, authentic selves out there. Mm-hmm. So.
But I mean, like, oh my God, I'm just trying to process everything that you're saying, because there's a lot of it that does hit home for me a lot too, that like you have to be able to, like, be able to live in your truth. I feel like it takes a lot of courage to do that, you know what I mean? And that's kind of like one big reason why it took me a really long time to come out as non-binary, because it was like there is like something going on here, but I don't know what it is. And then like, you know, as we started not, I guess this is the best way I can put it, but developing like language that was more accessible to everybody. It's like, that's what that is. That sounds a lot like what I am. And so like this is, but I never really tried to like apply it to myself until I was like talking to a friend of mine. And I was like, so you identify as non-binary, like what made you come to that conclusion? They were just like, well, do you feel like you exist in a binary? I'm like, no. And they're like, well, then there you go. And I was just like, oh, it's so easy. Yeah, exactly. But it's like I have had to find times to put myself back in the closet, though, just because like people get trans, binary, and like cis, but they don't get what a trans, non-binary, or just non-binary person in general is, right? And so there have been lots and lots of times where I'm just like, I just deal with it when people say she, her, ma'am. She's like, yeah, I'm just like, okay, that's cute, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you can probably speak on the same sort of levels, my
me.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I just like try to pass how people see me as, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, if I get called whatever, it's just like, yeah, cool, because. And I won't tell them because I'll never see them again.
Right.
But if it's someone I see consistently, I'm like, hey, these are my pronouns. So.
Yeah. No, it was funny because, well, not funny. It's like really fucked up, but I find it funny. This guy was trying to be like viciously transphobic and misogynistic to me at the same time. At the same damn time. At the same damn time. No. And like he was insulting me and he was like, you man or woman or whatever you are. And I was just like, okay.
Wow.
And like, and I just looked at him like, and like, cause I was wearing like a flannel and I was just looking, I guess, masculine. And I don't know if he thought I didn't hear him or he was like really trying to drive the point of insulting me. Like, yeah, you know, like whatever you are. It's just like, yeah, I heard you.
People,
I don't
love,
really know what you're trying to do here.
People just love gendering things. They
I
have
know,
to be gendered.
But like clearly like, this man was like really, really trying to upset me. I'm just like, no, you're confused. Thank you. You can't figure what is happening here. Thanks.
That
I needed that kind
of
validation.
A Pokemon battle. Like it hurt itself in confusion.
Pretty much, though.
Right. Like, keep trying. Keep going.
You can keep trying. I promise I heard you the first time, but it's not going anywhere, buddy. Like, thank you for that. That actually made me feel a lot better. Nice try, you know. But you mentioned that you have a boyfriend.
Let me take a sip.
Oh my goodness. Tell us everything about him. Everything.
Gosh. All right. Here we go. I know he's watching this, so.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah, it's streaming.
His name is Alexander.
Hey, Alexander.
Yes. Hi, Alex. My baby.
Everyone say hi.
Yeah, hi. Yes. He is a really, really amazing guy. We actually met through mutual friends because we both are visible. We're both trans, and we both do like kind of a lot of work like within the community as well in our own little ways. So that's kind of how we like met and started talking, which was really, really cool because usually when I had like dated in the past, it kind of had been like, oh, you're cute. Oh yeah, you're cute too. Let's see like what else can happen off of that instead of like actually getting to like know each other's interests and likes before like kind of determining whether or not like we were going to move to that next step. So it was kind of different. And he's not here today because he lives in Kentucky. Everybody say boo.
Boo.
Yes. So yeah, he lives in Kentucky, unfortunately. So it's been long distance and that kind of forced us to move things slower, which I actually like, because I told myself, I've been single for like 3 years before this. It had been like a while. Yeah. And I was like, the next time I get into a relationship, I want to take things slow. Like, I don't want to kind of rush through things. And
U-Haul it?
Yes. Yes. No U-Hauling.
Like I did.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Is there shade happening here? Or got a little shady?
I love my life. It's me, my girlfriend, and my dog just all in one bed. I love it. It's great.
But you know what? In defense of that, I feel like you know when you know.
Yeah.
And so I will say that. And like, I feel like we both knew a long time, but we were just forcing ourselves to try to slow it down, even though we had already known. So it was like, you know, but he's super, super sweet. We've both been able to really connect on like different levels than I had ever have before. Don't do that. You're going to make me cry. I know.
Julian's man's here. That's
yes.
What they just said.
Yes. We're calling everybody out today. But yeah, it's been a really amazing time. We met towards the end of July, and I actually, the first day that we like spent together was the day after his top surgery. So I was like kind of nursing him back to health, you know? Yes. That was the,
A long 6 weeks.
Yeah. I actually went to school for nursing before I went for psychology. Oh. Like, funny thing.
The more you know.
Yeah. But he's really amazing. Is there another question for that, Johan?
I don't know.
I mean, I can just keep talking about him all day.
I would say he sounds incredible.
Yeah.
I think, and not to, like, sound stalkerish, but I definitely try to, like, find an article about your mans. I think I did, but I'm not sure, like, a while back.
Weird.
Yeah, he does have an article, right?
He does. You Googled her boyfriend?
No, her boyfriend.
No, I said you Googled her boyfriend.
Yeah, I did. Because I'm that bitch. Of course I'm going to Google him.
I just wanted to make sure that's what happened.
Yeah. Okay. No, absolutely. Because okay. I am that bitch. I will do it.
All right.
What kind of activism is he really involved in? I mean, obviously, like, trans, like, activism. But is there, like, what is he doing in Kentucky? Because that's what I'm really interested in. Because people, like, especially those who live, like, up in the north, they think that queer people don't live in the South, or that queer people don't do anything in the South, or, but I think we are, like, one of the hardest fucking, like, people that work down here, and we are, like, yeah, and we, like, work really, really hard just to be visible and to be seen, you know what I mean? So I'm just really interested in, like, what has he done?
Yeah, so, throughout, like, his work, he was, so the, I'll go back to, like, the article you were talking about. He did an article with Refinery 29.
Oh, yes. I know those people.
Yes. And so, yeah, that was basically just him kind of, like, talking about his life and, like, some of the difficulties, just being, like, super vulnerable and being super open kind of about, like, where he was at that time. He recently did, like, another podcast. Kentucky, there's not an entire lot of things that are happening there, unfortunately.
Isn't that where that school is?
What?
No. Oh, yeah. Someone said yes.
Which school?
That school. Were those kids that Covington?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry I brought it up.
Yes. So he, yeah, he did the article, and he has a really nice beard, and he does, like, yeah. He works hard on that beard, okay? Like, it is work. Like, he, like, grooms it. Yes, for all the beards. But he, like, grooms it and does, like, oil, has, like, a whole kit. And, like, it's, like, yeah, it's, like, extra.
Like, not to be, like, that guy. But I have a friend that's also trans and mask. And, like, I know that it takes work to, like, make that beard grow. And I'm so here for it, but please groom it. Please. Please, like, so that makes me happy. Sorry, I just had to say that.
No, yes, it's much appreciated. I'm sure he's smiling really big right now hearing that. But yeah, so he actually works with he does like a beard care like kit, and with IMI. They're like a beard company run here in Houston, actually, by a trans man who like runs it. Yeah.
And if they would like to sponsor Beard Queer, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
There you go. Just plug that in there. Just plug.
Yeah. Just go ahead and plug it.
So does that mean he's moving
so he does.
Here?
I'm sorry.
So does that mean he's moving here?
Wow.
Oh.
I knew this question. I knew this question was coming.
Right.
We will be together soon. That's what I will say.
Nice. Yay.
Stop. Y'all are going to make me cry. I'm so emotional.
Wait. Let's switch it then. Okay. You're mentioning work, so let's talk modeling one more time, because I just love it. I saw you in the corner earlier, like, like you just got in the zone and you were just posing and doing your thing. How do you do that? Can you teach me? Because I'm literally afraid. I'm afraid of Instagram.
So
hold on. All right. So actually, we have a game.
Okay.
That we wanted you to play. So all right. Before we wrap it up. Okay. So this is game, like, basically imagine a camera crew with you everywhere you go. So we're going to give you a scenario, and the scenario will be just, like, how would you pose at that time, right then and there?
Like, right now?
Yeah.
Like, if there was someone right there about to take a picture of me. Okay, well, my legs are really long, so I would want to show that off, you know, but I don't want to, like, cut you off, so I would probably do something where my legs are angled towards there.
Okay.
And, I don't know, you know, just something a little slate. A little bit of body, you know, you got to show the body, so you're getting all of the stuff.
Yeah, so what if you were in a furniture store, how would you strike that pose?
Furniture store.
Right now, you just got just on the couch.
Y'all are putting me on the spot. I don't know. I might have to.
Would you do it?
You know what? I'm actually really silly, y'all. Okay. I'm really silly. I would probably do like an elevator thing. You know, have y'all seen I would probably do something like silly like that because I do stuff outside of modeling too. But like turning on and off like the switch like you were talking about over there. I don't know, I just think, like, y'all did mention Tyra, and I think she's awesome, and, like, she does, like, a lot of work to, like, be inclusive of, like, a lot of different communities, which I think is really cool, so I've looked up to her a lot, and I just always hear her saying, like, smize in the back and all of that stuff, so I just think I get in that attitude, and, like, America's Next Top Model theme song plays in my head, and, like, it just, it all happens, and then it's just, like, I, like, black out. Well, and then it just happens.
We were all rooting for you.
Yes. Oh, my God. I, like, know that whole thing, but I'm not going to get into it here.
Sometimes when I can't, like, think, I just watch that speech sometimes because it's so iconic.
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. So, how dare you?
Yes. Like, Tiffany.
Yes, Tiffany. Yes. Call her out. Come for her.
It's like when you go to bed, you think about this and you learn from your mistakes. Yeah. You learn from this. Anyway, sorry. That was
my mother has never yelled at me like this. Okay, I'm done.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming. I guess I wanted to ask, what's something you would leave behind for future trans model kids who want to get into industry? Like,
anything,
what would you tell them?
Models, actors, directors.
Yeah.
I want all the trans kids everywhere to do it. They ever want to do ever. Like, I want them to still, I want them to have that moment that you had where they're like, wait, this is my life. Let me be in control of it. Let me tell my own stories. Like, what would you tell them? Like, if they're listening right now?
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I always kind of leave things on like this note of like, we only have one life to live and you deserve to live its entirety in your authenticity. Right. And so, and when I started thinking about things in that way, by that time, I had lived like over 2/3 of my life for other people, basically, when I looked back. And I started like kind of pondering on reasons why and how hard it was for me to kind of get to that point. But once I got there, I've got to experience another amount of like love and relationships, not just like even romantically, but just like with friends and myself and people. So it's a journey to getting there, but like, be patient with yourself and allow yourself to get to that spot. And like, there will be people that will support you and that will love you for who you are, whatever that is. So don't feel that you have to fit into any box because you don't have to. I think that's what I would like to leave behind.
You're gonna make me cry.
I know. Yay. We're all gonna cry. Is everybody emotional here? Or
yeah.
are we all, the moons are all right. Spreading.
Well, before we sign off, I just want to thank Jessica again for you coming over here. It's been really great to talk to you. I also want to thank everyone for coming here, too. Like, thank y'all so much for coming out to the show. Like, I really can't believe it that y'all are here, honestly. I'm just like, pinch me, I'm dreaming. But the reason why...
Yeah, right?
No, but, like, the reason why we keep this project going is for y'all. So that's why I'm just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know their hearts, too, but, like, just thank you. And if you haven't yet, please check us out on Veer Queer Podcast on Facebook. We have a Twitter that we're trying to get better about updating.
It's Veer_queer_htx. Do you have any social media handles you want to plug in if people want to find
sure.
you?
Yeah, sure. My Twitter is not popping, but if y'all want to follow me on that, you can. It's at the Jessica Zyrie, and so is my Instagram. So it's THEJESSICAZYRIE.
And then I also want to thank our sponsors tonight. I actually have it written down so I don't fuck it up. But we want to thank Monthly Moist Lip Balm, Garate and Cooper PLLC, and Bradley David Entertainment for sponsoring us this evening. Thank y'all again. Thank you. Oh, and Spectrum Style too, obviously. Duh. Thank you. Thank y'all.